And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Joe Donahue.
Yay! Just in time to introduce Alan. He introduced everybody. Yeah,
by himself. Yeah, everything. Well, we already read that one. We'll do this one. All right. Hey,
never be late again because we're ready to take over.
I guess I apologize. My timing is off in the other studio. How are you all?
We're good, and my fingers are hurting because of practicing the banjo for the Berkshire Ramblers.
Oh, really? Are they playing soon?
This Saturday?
If you had a vamp, why didn't you just start with that?
Well, because I thought it was the right thing to do.
Okay.
So anyway, Saturday night, those tickets are going fast, folks. I'm warning you. Don't be calling me up later on and saying, "Can you get me in? I'm a WAMC member or whatever else." I can. It's a benefit for the Guthrie Church, and we're doing our best.
Is there a phone number?
Yes. There is. 413-528-1955.
All right. Well, good morning.
Year.
Alan Chartok is here. Rosemary Armeo, head of the journalism program at the University of Albany.
We did this.
All right.
We're ready to get to the news.
Oh, for God's sakes. Good morning. Very nice to have you here. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Okay. So let's start in. Let's talk about what everybody wants to talk about. Anthony Weiner and Huma Abedin. What do you think?
I think she's going to get custody of the child.
I think there's a prima facie case for her to get that.
Yeah.
Without too much difficulty in any kind of a court. He's to have texted an image of him in a sort of declothed situation where he was just wearing underwear, and then to pull a child who was only wearing underwear into the picture and to have texted that, it seems to be something that could be regarded as endangering the welfare of a child.
I also think that there's a mental health question here. Really.
Well, you got to think of the child first.
Oh,
in the
absolutely.
Custody
situation. No, absolutely.
Another reason that he won't get custody.
Yeah, you're right. I think that there's a mental health question here. Wiener, the film, which I saw, Joe, you saw it, right?
Yeah. Showtime documentary.
Yep. Now mm-hmm. Showtime documentary. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is so interesting to watch Huma standing there, never saying much or a word, never being defensive on his part, just sort of being there. And he claimed, by the way, afterwards, that this was not his doing. That there was no agreement that Huma would be in the film, but she was.
He urges her at one point. Is that not true? To listen to him talking about the sexting thing, and she goes, "I can't do it. I can't do it," and she walks out. So I never had the sense. I never had the sense that she was like Elliot Spitzer's wife.
Did we clarify what we're talking about?
Yeah. Well, we're talking about the
Everyone knows.
Anthony Weiner, who was a congressman from New York, and
ran for mayor.
But that was after he originally lost the seat because of the first texting issue. And then the second texting issue came during the run for mayor. And then so then these new photos came to light.
This is the third strike.
This is the third strike. And these were reported by the New York Post on Sunday. And then it was announced yesterday by...
Although they're not completely new.
No, it was August of 2000, or last summer, July or August of 2015. So they're a year old. And but they... You know, it just proves that on the internet, things come to life and stay there forever.
Well, I think he's done a terrible thing, but he's also been very badly punished for it. He's self-destructive. What can he do now? He's a laughingstock. So I feel bad about that. Here's my thing. I don't think it has anything to do with politics.
I don't feel bad about it.
You know, I mean, okay, I'm so sick of the internet is all like, oh, look, he's such a pervert. So is Bill Clinton. Well, you know, the fact is that there's perversion and debauchery enough for all the parties. It doesn't have anything to do with politics. Could we just move on?
Right. Donald Trump, of course, is contending that his marriage breakdown, you know, Huma Abedin has said that she is separating from Anthony Weiner now, because of this or in the wake of this. Donald Trump is contending that this is a matter of national security because
crazy.
She is the top aide to Hillary Clinton.
There's just
and she's
no
been
evidence.
Obviously brought in on some national security briefings and somehow this is a major political scandal. And I agree with you, Rosemary. This is a sad story about it, a tragic story about a guy who's self-destructing, who has mental illness. And now a child's been brought into it, and it really has nothing to do with the presidential race.
It doesn't. And if we're going to open it up, it'll be, well, Roger Ailes is helping out Donald Trump, and he's kind of a pig from all the evidence that's coming to light now.
Evidently, that does not matter.
That is not national security that we'd have, you know. I don't know. It just doesn't seem to have any bearing. And I say that with a certain amount of guilt, because one of the other stories we're supposed to talk about today is on health care and problems, big problems with Obamacare. And I really, really did try to read a bunch of stories on that. And I just got pulled over to the, you know, the Daily News pictures and perversion story. Yeah. It's really easy to become obsessed with this.
Well, although one interesting piece of this Anthony Weiner story is a quote by Hank Shinecoff, and he's a consultant who, you know, has been a big Hillary supporter. He says the best way to get rid of a problem is to get rid of the problem, and that's talking about Uma Abedin
shedding
from
the husband.
Right. But what about the Clinton Foundation? You know, if that's a problem, why didn't the Clintons, you know, put that behind a wall?
Yeah, they're talking about doing it now, but it is way too late.
It is
way
too late.
Could you explicate there? I'm not quite sure what you mean.
Well, Anthony Weiner was a problem for Uma Abedin, so she ends the marriage or separates from him. And this political consultant who's big to the Clintons and a big to the Democrats, Shinecoff,
like the
says the best way to get rid of the problem is get rid of the problem. Why didn't the Clintons hear that advice when they began to run into conflicts of interest and other issues regarding the Clinton Foundation?
Well, there's two things there. One is, you're right, I think this is a worse indiscretion than Goldman Sachs speeches. If she knew she was going to run, and she obviously did in the past 2 years, why didn't she make the distance greater than it was? That's a problem. But second is, you know, Uma didn't shed him right away. This is his third offense, third humiliation in public. She held on for a long time, not unlike him. Hillary, her surrogate mother. They do have this thing that you stand by your man in spite of.
I think that's such a diss. It's a much more complicated thing, and you don't know all the details of someone's personal relationships. And when someone decides to leave someone or someone decides to stay with someone after there's been this kind of scandal, it's all a personal thing. And I don't think we should pass judgment.
And yes,
on
that's
it.
Correct, Mike. You just don't even know whether. Whether what he's doing is an attempt to get her.
Well, you're a better person than I am. I'm passing judgment.
I would just like I want to finish the sentence. An attempt to get her attention once again. Here's this woman. She's out in the field. She's with Hillary all of the time. He's sitting there with a child. I'm telling you, I started out by saying this is a clear question of mental illness. That's what it is.
Well, it is. It
you
is.
Just blame
it's some
the
kind
victim.
Of a behavior
no,
aberration.
I'm just trying to explain within the
if
confines
only
of
she
the
had
sorry.
Stayed you, home.
Were you saying that? I'm sorry. I just
Who's
need a clarification. Were you saying, Alan, that he was doing this because she was away, because Uma was away, and he wanted to get her attention?
Yes.
I'd say it's purely speculative.
No, that's right. It is speculative. And I identified it as speculative, and we don't know. Rosemary was quite right saying it's very complicated.
Or maybe he's just
icky.
Well, he certainly has some kind of psychic anomaly here.
I mean, there's three cases here, and for whatever reason, he can't stop snapping pictures of
his penis.
Right. Thank you, Rosemary.
His groin.
I don't know why I'm the
his
only
groin,
one.
His groin, I think.
Is
but I mean that. Yeah. But that's too. That is too.
What?
Well, I mean, it's for other women, right? I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with her.
Oh. Who knows? And you know what? I don't really want to know. I just know that he has some kind of, as Rosemary described it, self-destructive
compulsion.
Compulsion is a great word. And evidently, he cannot stop from doing it. And this happened a year ago, and it just sort of surfaced.
I think he's cursed by his name.
It could be.
Well,
you know, you could do an analysis, and you know, it's very Freudian, you know, to have a name that is also a double entendre,
a body part,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and the tabs, of course, very much appreciated.
Well, yeah, you can't. Yeah, but
I'm sorry.
You can't
I know
make
it's
that
not.
Up.
It's not funny. We shouldn't laugh at mental illness, but it's way hard not to in this case.
No,
and that's
I find it very hard to laugh at it. I do.
It's tragically sad, and yeah. I think it has nothing to do with politics.
So. Yeah, I think so. And of course, here's Hillary, and there's one other thing to be said here, and that is, stand by your man, but Hillary has stood by Huma. Right? I mean,
they're very close. It's almost a mother daughter thing.
But we have seen so many.
She's very talented.
Yes, but we have seen so many times in which, when push comes to the shove and we're talking about the gaining of the presidency of the United States, people are dispatched. They are, because.
Right, look how quickly Corey Lewandowski was dispatched by Donald Trump.
And I think it speaks well of Hillary, to tell you the truth, that she is.
It's an admirable quality to stick with somebody who is sort of the victim of this behavior by her husband, and not to hold it against her.
I'd now, like Rosemary, to see it that way. I think it's a bit more selfish than that. Hillary has very few trusted advisors, people that she completely trusts and feels close to. And Uma is one of them.
Yeah.
I think it would take a whole lot more than this for her to dump Uma.
Well, she is not dumping
her. I think it's admirable that she's sticking with her.
The case, or the, you know, now we move on here, but I assume that this is a story that will vanish from the headlines fairly quickly. And do you think it has legs in any way?
Only in that it brings more attention to Uma, who has some other problems, too. She seems to have been triple dipping. She worked both for the Clinton
State
Foundation,
and a consultant.
And,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How come? Why was that happening?
Well,
her husband wasn't working.
Again,
that to me sounds like the Clinton approach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have to follow the rules everybody else does. And she was close to the Clintons, and she needed more income to survive because her husband lost his
home,
job.
Right, yeah. He was staying home with the baby.
And, you know, so the rules get bent for those on the inside. That is a problem that Clinton has.
I see that going on.
It's called arrogance.
Arrogance, yeah.
And that is a problem that the Clintons have had all along.
It is hard to believe that you do it. You know, you're caught. They do a documentary on you, and you do it again. I mean,
this was a year ago, so maybe it already.
Okay,
happened.
Yeah, but it was while the documentary was being done.
Yeah,
I mean, really. Also, you know, don't you think? Maybe I'm going off on this, but don't you think there's a personality? There is a through line where you have a person who is looking for attention and taking pictures of himself, sending it to others, and then wants to do a documentary about the greatest embarrassment of his life.
By the way, I don't think that's quite correct. I think what I read about that was that this guy was a friend of his. And you're probably right when you say wants to be, but
well, he had
a friend
to. I mean, he agreed.
He agreed.
He agreed. Yeah. I mean, he cooperated with the documentary. And I don't know. I don't, you know, of what would make you want to do that.
Well, let's talk about politics. Someone who puts himself out to be elected that way. It's very much the same thing. Very narcissistic.
It could be a trait of being a narcissist. I mean, they say Donald Trump really doesn't care about what publicity he gets. He just wants publicity. He craves publicity. Elliot Spitzer participated in the documentary Client Number 9 and agreed to participate in that. I mean, people don't want to be left out of the thing that focuses on them.
However, Mike, I have to say, I saw the Elliot Spitzer documentary, and I thought Spitzer's participation in it was exemplary.
It was his opportunity to defend
himself. Yes, and I thought it was stand-up stuff. Whereas they showed the guys who were after him and going, yuck, yuck, we got him. It was really a pretty fair, you know, explanation of a tragedy, where the Wiener thing is far more difficult for me.
Well, I mean, Mr. Wiener obviously has a disorder, and that's tragic and sad, and we're seeing it played out because of the high profile of his wife and his own high profile.
We've heard from John, he writes us on a fairly regular basis, who says, mental health diagnosis, overdiagnosed, enables and excuses bad behavior. I think that is exactly wrong, John.
Yeah.
Exactly wrong.
We're
not making excuses. We're trying to explain it.
Exactly.
There's a difference. Yeah.
Exactly.
We're very unforgiving of mental illness in this country. if you do something bad, you know, it's really hard to get a ruling of insanity. They still treat you like you're guilty if you get insanity. It's not the same. That's symptomatic of it. I mean, like I said, what he did was idiotic, and he has paid a terrible price for it.
But does he know it?
Loss of career, loss of family, loss of public reputation.
And now he may lose his son.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we continue, we will, when we come back, we'll go to other issues. We'll get the letters that you have written about on this issue as well as others. And we'll talk about, we'll talk more about politics. And as Rosemary mentioned, we do have an Obamacare story to talk about as well. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. And we will be back. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain are here, and we hope that you will join in on the conversation roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain make up the panel. I'm Joe Donahue, and we do welcome your letters. You know, a place where we get letters like these.
We get a lot of letters. Okay, Tom says, Wiener, the rules don't apply to me. Seems to be a disease that runs rampant through our political system and affects everyone in the system. That's absolutely true. I mean, I was just saying to the group here about this case that's unfolding, major case in Great Barrington, where, you know, a cop gets pulled over by a really good cop and calls his superiors and is apparently told to give him a ride home, whereas anybody else, the rules don't mm-hmm. apply to the police. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's bad. David says, I recall objections on your program to non-professionals diagnosing Trump's mental health. It's inconsistent to do the same with Wiener. And Peter says, panel, since Mr. Wiener isn't running for president in his mental states and actions, is or should be of no import to others outside his friendship and family. Much as I enjoy documentaries, that one isn't going to make my list. Wayne says, I hope he gets the help he needs with his future, with his son. I hope that he gets the help he needs and that his future with his son and his ex can at least normalize. It seems obvious to me it's a cry for help. And that's from Wayne from Amherst. I like that letter. And then we heard from Lisa, who says, it occurs to me to ask Rosemary a question. Does Rosemary support Hillary's policies of wanting a no-fly zone over Syria and the repercussions associated with that policy? Does she want the TPP and fracking, which Ken Salazar advocates? And believe me, Hillary Clinton will oppose TPP until she gets into office. Ken Salazar, heading her transition, is more telling about what Hillary represents. Okay.
I am against fracking.
Right. You are indeed.
How about the TPP?
I think there's been really superficial looks at that, and there are reasons to support it. I don't like the way it was negotiated in secret, but I am in favor of trade agreements.
So we heard from somebody, I think, whose name is John, who says, poor Senator Thomas Eagleton, if we could only hear ourselves now. Now, there may be people out there. I'm not one of them because I'm really old. Who remembers the
George McGovern's first running mate, 1972.
Running mate, who he was 1,000% behind until it turned out that earlier, much earlier in his life, he had had electric shock. Yes.
I'm an expert on this, having just read a book on the Eagleton vice presidency. And electroshock, yes, it was shocking.
Electroshock therapy.
Yes, yeah. Therapy mm-hmm. was shocking. But the real problem was that he lied to the McGovern people about his past. Yeah. Asked. It, vetting was not as, hopefully, as intense as it is today. And when asked, was there anything in your past we need to know about, he said unequivocally no. And the fact that he had had electroshock therapy
because
was
he
quite
had been,
well known.
Seriously depressed.
It was a treatment. It still is a sure. treatment. They don't quite know why it works, but it seems to in many cases.
Well, it's very controversial.
Yeah. And had he just been like Carrie Fisher and wrote a book about it and admitted to it, we might have had a different outcome. But he tried to hide
well,
it.
Well, I'm
it's always the cover
the
up that gets
72.
It.
I don't know.
No,
I'm with Mike.
The outcome of his remaining a candidate, not who would they have won.
No, I'm with Mike on that. I just think that, and I studied this, that was my PhD, and I just think that the stigma existed then, it exists now, it's a terrible thing. So Gray says, the Bush family has a large foundation which no one questioned during the 12 years of Bush presidents. Many of the donors had meetings with the Bushes at the time. Many senators have foundations. Double standard. Penelope joins the group of people who say, get on to a topic of more importance than Wiener.
Okay, well, I got a really clever letter from one of our regulars, Phil Ortiz, and he did a little doggerel about Trump as so clever.
No,
he thought of himself a tycoon. The rest of the world called him buffoon. When he stood on the stump, everyone said, oh, Trump, and with that hair, it looks like a talking baboon.
I don't like
I like that people spend time on letters.
Yeah,
stuff.
I know.
You don't like poetry.
Irene writes the best. Poetry. Irene wrote the best actual letter. Of the
okay, game. Let's hear it.
Okay, here it goes. I totally agree with Alan.
Stop right there.
That's all there
poetry,
was.
Smoetry, yeah. Please.
That's all there was. Okay, so then we heard from Ramon. Why is Anthony Weiner's actions termed a mental illness? There was a time that homosexuality was considered a mental illness. Let us all keep in mind that both morality and ethics are open to change, and someday...
Texting what Anthony, body parts might not be mental illness.
What Anthony is doing could likely be acceptable by society, so it may not be proper to call it mental illness, and that's from Ramon in Montgomery. All right. And then we heard from our wonderful panelist, Barbara Smith.
Huh.
I assume this is the Barbara Smith.
Yes.
Yeah. And she says, I also saw the Wiener documentary. One of the things I noticed in the film was how often Huma Abedin had tears in her eyes.
Yes.
There's been very little commentary about what a horrible time this is for her.
Yep. Yeah,
it's tragic. It is a tragic story.
The L.A. Times had a wonderful story about just that, that this is, we can all chortle and make jokes about his name and about what he did, but this is a marriage coming apart. It's a little boy who's now going to come from a broken home.
Yeah.
It's 6 years invested in trying to pull this off, and it didn't work. It is sad.
It's tragic. And look at the effort that went into it. You have to admire the effort to try to make it work.
And then we heard from Roger. Green candidate Jill Stein is on the ballot in 39 states, including D.C., and 8 more possible, more than enough to potentially win 270 electoral votes. That should be the criteria for the debates. Okay. And Jim says...
interjection, but the Minnesota story was pretty incredible. The Trump people and the GOP forgot to put Trump on the ballot in Minnesota. That has been corrected. But how does that happen? That is unbelievable.
His campaign manager is too busy beating up girl reporters.
Well, he had been... it's been observed that he did not have a good ground team, and that.
But isn't that a state party function? I mean, you would think you register the correct paperwork.
It is the party that put Jesse Ventura on the state ballot.
Joe, if it's all right with you, I'd like to just change direction for a moment. I've been thinking about this all morning long. Now it turns out that now that you've mentioned the election, that the Russians. Are busting
scary.
In, right? Are busting
That's
into
one
our
of our stories.
Electoral system, right? And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, one and one makes two, and I hope this doesn't qualify me as a conspiracy theorist. But from the very beginning, you had Trump saying what a good guy Putin was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you had him saying, I believe, some very favorable things about Putin's involvement in Ukraine. Now we see that the Russians are involved in the McCain election. Now, who doesn't like McCain? Trump doesn't like McCain. Mm-hmm. So one.
I don't
think
Putin likes him either.
Well, that's
McCain?
My point. I think that's my point.
Why not? Why?
Well, I think my point is that there does seem to be, as they say in wrestling, a double teaming here. You know that Putin and Trump seem to be. Having a common association on all of this stuff.
Well, Trump has said that it's important to have somebody in the White House who has the respect of Putin and other leaders in the world. He hasn't really criticized Putin, yet he's criticized Angela Merkel, who is the head of Germany, a great ally of the United States, and he's criticized the Pope. But so he's an unusual guy that he gets away with sort of complimenting Vladimir Putin and criticizing.
All I'm saying is there more to this? And then I say,
Well, and there also, we should clarify that there was also a hack believed to be in the state of Illinois as well. So
yeah, these have not had any impact, but it does demonstrate that there could be somebody hacking in might be deleting enrolled voters, and that might, on election day, cause a stir which might upset the outcome of an election, a close election. So it's scary that a foreign power could influence the outcome of a U.S. election.
And Daisy says, thank you, Rosemary. Huma's marital problems have nothing to do with the race. Shame on the New York Times for their coverage and what they are trying to say. The Clinton Foundation, way more complicated because of all the good it does.
How about the New York Post?
Well, the Post and the Daily News are what we call out of control.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tabloid story. It lends itself to catchy headlines that make you wince.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll move on to other topics. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Adelphi University Hudson Valley Center, offering the RN to BS in nursing one day weekly for working nurses, plus a fully online master's in nutrition, adelphi.edu. The Daily Grind Cafe, 46 3rd Street in Troy, offering breakfast, freshly baked pastries, soups, sandwiches, and desserts, dailygrind.com. And Edgar Bosick, Certified Financial Planner, Private Financial Design, South Hadley, Your Life, Your Plan, Your Portfolio, PrivateFinancialDesign.com, securities through Cambridge Investment Research, member FINRA and SIPC.
It's been a hard couple weeks for Obamacare. The laws online marketplaces where people were supposed to be able to easily shop for health insurance have been suffering from high-profile defections and double-digit premium increases. Critics of Obamacare have pointed to the recent problems as proof the market is not working. Well, even the law's staunchest defenders are arguing that the marketplaces need some fixes. Many challenges that are coming in. One of them being that the issues of choice, prices increasing, the market being too small, and one that has dogged this issue from the very beginning, which is that it is just really complicated and very, very hard to figure out.
It's all true. However, I have two words I'd like to offer into the discussion. One of them is insurance companies, and that's one, and the other is profit, which is what they are all about. Now, there are those of us who, for a long time, have been talking about increasing the benefits of Medicare for everybody, because Medicare is an extremely well-run system. It doesn't rely on insurance companies to make profits in order to have passed the law in the first place. And that's where we ought to be heading, because these
guys— That's a single-payer system, essentially,
right,
the Bernie Sanders position.
Yeah. Well, he's right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been right all along. Why in the world would we give all of this money away to insurance companies?
Yeah. Well, it demonstrates the power of the insurance company lobby when Obamacare was originally set up. And then the problem has been that it was hurriedly thrown together during a very short window where the Democrats had the majority before Ted Kennedy became too ill to be present to vote. And then they lost that. And what it has to happen is there has to be some repairs made on Obamacare, some updates, some revisions. And you cannot do that with the Republican-controlled Congress, who tried to veto or tried to rescind Obamacare, 50-something times, and a president has had to veto those bills. You can't change it, so it's not perfect at all, and it needs to be cleaned up, and no one has a good alternative for it. So it's kind of a situation where we're in.
There are two elements I would add to the discussion. One is that I so dislike Republicans and other opponents chortling over this. Like, yay, we're happy to see it fail. They have no alternative. Mm-mm. And getting fixes through is going to be painfully difficult if it can be done at all. And second is that the media, do we have some responsibility in this too? We've gotten some criticism. I think some of it's merited that we have been looking for good things to say about it. We have been, including us on this program, we've talked about, oh, how many millions? And how many millions is it?
11
now
million?
Have insurance. Yeah, but it was supposed to be 20. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be 25 at one time. It was supposed to be 40 at one time. So we've been really fast and loose with it, too, and have not looked at this until now, when it's almost in crisis situation.
Well, politics, it has often been said, is the art of compromise. And this was a bad compromise. That's all I got to say.
I think that's exactly right. And the insurance lobbies, very powerful, had a lot of control over
that. K Street.
Yeah.
They ran right over there.
What do you think would happen? Donald Trump has said that the whole thing will go out if
he's got
he
a
would
better
just
plan.
Throw it out.
That
he has
a better plan.
But he hasn't said what it is.
Under Hillary Clinton?
I think Hillary Clinton probably is already working with Obama, who has pretty much a lot at stake in this, too. And they're already working on fixes. Whether they can move them through is something else.
Yeah, well, it'll depend on what happens in the congressional races.
Right.
And
yeah.
Are we going to have to bail out the insurance companies? That's what this is about. They're already talking reinsuring.
Wow.
In other words, if they're going to lose money in a particular area, we will give them the money that they are losing. And that is awful.
Well, I don't think there's going to be Medicare for All anytime soon.
You never know, do you?
You know,
Mike?
No. I've been wrong before.
Well, no, me too. But the
progressives
reason
are already pushing that. They say, "Oh, this is the perfect example
perhaps,
of why we need
perhaps
it."
Perhaps this is the solution. Maybe they're pushing themselves into an untenable situation where this will be the outcome.
I've been looking at the polling data on 20s and 30-year-olds, 20 years old, and they don't get this. They really have a sense of what ought to be. They did with the gay marriage and
LGBT issues.
Yeah,
certainly.
They did. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, what looked impossible forever, just whoop, it got changed. I think we're coming to a point here where Hillary took a look and saw what percent of the Democratic convention, it was huge, were Bernie supporters. And I think she says, well, you know, this would be a popular thing to do.
Yeah, I don't think she's necessarily opposed to that. I mean, that was her when she was the first lady back in 1992, after Clinton was elected in 92, she was in charge of, you know, trying to get universal health care and was trounced by the Congress on it. But
exactly.
It's been a promise of hers for decades.
Well, I promise, and she's taking quite a bit of criticism. I would have thought she'd get credit for at least opening the way and trying to. But instead, it's like, oh, the way she handled it put us back 20 years.
I think she got it going. I mean, whatever little momentum was necessary, I think she got it going.
It's part of that. You know, nothing Hillary Clinton does will ever be approved by
a certain segment.
One-third of the people who approve of her.
Yeah.
Finally, and we have a few minutes, and we'll take some letters, too, but Gene Wilder passed away, 83 years old, died in Stamford, Connecticut. Known for several aspects of his career. There were the Mel Brooks years, and then there were the Richard Pryor years. Mel Brooks, of course, the producers, Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, three amazing films. Also with Richard Pryor did Silver Streak, Stir Crazy, See No Evil, Hear No Evil, and just some really wonderful cinematic moments, and a lovely guy. We're going to have a remembrance of him in our 11 o'clock hour, but it is one of those things, I don't know, those celebrity passing stories are weird because sometimes you read them and you go, oh, well, or the, as my mother said, oh, did he die again? but then sometimes they really hit you.
I was impressed that he's had Alzheimer. He's been suffering for several years, but didn't want people to know. He didn't want to disappoint his fans.
Yeah,
because he was still going out in public, and kids recognize him. They've seen Willy Wonka, and they just light up when they see them. And he didn't want the focus to be on his illness. You know, the way the media can focus on someone's demise. Rather, he wanted to keep that out of it and just go quietly away, and that's evidently what has happened. But, you know, nobody's talking about The Lady in Red. I always thought that was one of his best
great
films.
I like that one, too, yeah.
Yeah, great film. And
and Hanky Panky with Gilda Radner.
With Gilda Radner, where they met.
Yes.
Where they met.
She was the third of four wives. I didn't realize that. And he became, yes. after she died terribly of ovarian cancer, he became quite a spokesperson for yep. cancer causes.
Started Gilda's Club. Yeah.
Yeah. What I sort of liked about the guy was that he was not without complications in his own life.
No.
He was vulnerable.
Yeah.
And, you know, when somebody, when they make up the stuff about somebody who's going, it's always very good. But he really did struggle with demons. And for everybody else out there, that's a very sympathetic thing for us to associate with.
Yeah, you can sort of relate to him. And you like to point out that he was not a comedian. He was a yeah. comedic actor, which yeah. is very different. And and that's the first time I heard that distinction in an interview.
It's all been all over the news
years
all
ago,
morning.
You know,
but he had the hair and eyes of a comedian. He was, you know,
<did. laughs> well,
used them well.
And you'll hear it in our interview later on, but he talks about early on of taking old Danny Kaye bits and doing
that's
them for
right.
his mother.
You can
and
see
and
that.
So there were
yeah.
those moments.
Can't do better than that.
No, but you can see very much. You can, yeah. you can imagine mm-hmm. that, can't you?
That yeah. certainly
just
makes
doing
sense.
These Danny yeah. Kaye bits. And so a very, very big talent that we lost. We have about 3 minutes, so let's go to some of the letters that are coming in to
okay.
wrap up this morning.
I always mispronounce her name, but it's Aisha and Ron.
Aisha,
that's right, of course. Hi, panel. I'm hoping that Hillary can introduce the public option for people being able to pay for Medicare, as well as to start a gradual lowering of the Medicare age, which would be the next stop towards Medicare for all. I don't think this is going to happen at all at once, says Aisha. And I have to say that I agree with her, and I think I said that about 10 minutes ago, but that's exactly right. Good for writing. Thank you. Okay. Hello, panel, says Pete. Sorry, Dr. Allen, but gay marriage is not much of an issue for most. When we're talking about insurance companies, we're talking money, big money. What's with the naivete? A bit more cynicism would clarify this. Mm. You know, this is not an easy job, gang.
Yeah, you were admonished for not being cynical enough, Allen.
Yeah, there's, and then, of course, there are those
that
who
is
believe,
what that was. Wasn't yeah, it? Yeah.
Who believe just the opposite. So Joshua says, 10,000 Syrians were led into the country today. Sort of controversial, I'd say. Instead, Anthony Weiner was discussed for a half an hour. I don't get the Weiner obsession. Hate to see the roundtable fall victim to daily tabloid fever stories, but I still love the show. And that's from Josh. Okay. And
anybody want to talk about Syria?
Well, you know, we're accepting Syrian refugees into the United States. Not a whole lot compared to the number of refugees, but
even in Mike Pence's state.
But yes, and they're assimilating into our culture the way others have for you know a couple hundred years, and they're what makes our country rich. ISIS doesn't want to see them assimilate into our culture and doesn't want to see them welcomed here. Wants to draw a distinction between us and them, and that doesn't. When we accept immigrants into our culture, that's exactly what ISIS hates and what they don't stand for and what the U.S. does stand
so,
for.
So, Mike, here's the elephant on the table.
Mm-hmm.
What if they can recruit one guy or one woman?
Oh, you know,
crazy?
There is always that potential. There's always the potential of recruiting someone over the internet, which has happened. We saw it
they
in Florida. They
recruit Americans, not just
right.
Syrian refugees.
Right, yeah,
we've
right.
Seen
I
that.
Mean, you have to take a broader look at it and know that there are people who have been routed out of their country by war and are looking to start fresh like so many before us have.
More?
We have time for one more letter.
Universal health care. Hillary won't do it, says Lisa. It is, however, a major policy for Jill Stein. I hope millennials in non-swing states rise up and vote for Jill Stein. We need a party and policies that support people. And that's from Lisa.
I hope millennials rise up and vote. I'd end the sentence right there.
Right. That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yes. Yeah. We are out of time. I want to thank you for being with us this morning. Thanks to Alan and Rosemary and Mike. And we'll continue another panel discussion tomorrow. We'll continue our roundtable program after this.